Ladies and gentlemen,
you want experience during your football season? Well, buckle up, sweet cheeks.
That's all we need.
We've got all the experience in the world. This is I Want Your Flex with Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon. Mike and Dan break down everything you need to set your lineups. From position rankings to starts and sits, the guys help you make those hard decisions. And now, let's get your flex on. Here's Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon.
A double dose of football Monday night may have turned into an overdose, Mike Harmon, for some teams, because I don't know if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, how you are going to stomach the rest of the season. And I don't know if you're a Bills fan. Maybe having bad Josh Allen back again is a scary proposition. But that's what we had on Monday night with the doubleheader to wrap up Week 6. It's all a part of the latest edition of I Want Your Flex. Get Mike on Twitter, at Swollen Dome. I'm at Dan Beyer on Fox. But yeah, the Chiefs go into Buffalo, beat the Bills 26-17. Then you had the Cardinals take care of the Cowboys 38-10 in embarrassing fashion in Arlington.
Yeah, what's funny is you go through both of these games, Dan, and you look at the Chiefs and what they were able to bring to the table. The Bills were still allowed to hang around. Right, it could have been a big blowout, but they did a good job of keeping the explosive plays away. But Josh Allen owners, and certainly those who were starting the Josh Allen for MVP kind of talk, well, that goes away. Stephon Diggs saves him with a big catch, and obviously some rushing yards help you along the way. But you know, when you look at it from the overall week that was for Josh Allen, just an absolute mess, right? Go back to that Tennessee game. That's two duds in a row where you're just wringing your hands wondering if some of those bad tendencies have found themselves. In the nightcap, now there's not much redemption going for the Dallas Cowboys. And even on the other side, Arizona scores a ton of points. Kyler Murray has a great fantasy night. But I'm still looking at the rest of it, scratching my head, going, all right, remember, you're talking, in I Want Your Flex, you're talking about the fantasy ramifications. You're not talking about the shortcomings of this offense, even against a terrible defense. Because 38-10, as you're looking at it, going, oh, that's great. No. There were a lot of warts.
The Cowboys situation is so intriguing to me because the value of the guys that you had on your team. We talked last week about maybe Chase Claypool lifting a lot of the value in Pittsburgh. And,
sure.
And while Pittsburgh had a great week against Cleveland, maybe it didn't happen this past week. But when you lose a quarterback like Dak did, like Dak was to the Cowboys, and Andy Dalton throws the ball 54 times and doesn't top 300 yards, makes you worried. Ezekiel Elliott's fumbles are going to be a big headline as well in throughout the week of what's wrong with the Cowboys. But as you say, we sit here, we look at the fantasy aspects. Can we count on CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper each getting 10 targets per game with Andy Dalton as the quarterback? Do we feel that Dalton gets better in this role where those guys are playable? What do you do with Ezekiel Elliott? Does he drop down a line to, you know, to an RB2? Where the heck are all these Cowboy stars that we thought that we were going to be able to play? Where are they now with Andy Dalton with one game under his belt?
Well, I think with Ezekiel Elliott, obviously we're not expecting him to drop the ball repeatedly. I heard on the broadcast they were arguing about maybe he's trying to do too much. The whole point of football is to have possession of the ball. I mean, what else is he trying to do? Once he's got possession, you keep possession until you go to the ground. Nothing changed without Dak Prescott there. There's no difference in what Ezekiel Elliott is supposed to be doing. But for as you point out, I think the defense is so bad. These guys are going to be in the double-digit targets.
Yeah.
It's just, what are they going to make of them? Right? Michael Gallup had a wide-open touchdown catch. He missed it. Right? And then they have to settle for Zuerlein. Then later on, they bring Zuerlein out for a 58-yard attempt that's just shockingly bad. The decision plus the kick. But Elliott, yeah, he goes to the RB2. He hasn't been the same guy anyway. But I got to think Pollard comes in a little bit more, gives them a little bit of a bump. As for the receivers, it looked like Dalton Schultz was on his way to a big game. at least from a fantasy perspective, whether it was going to impact the final score, forget about it. But behind that offensive line, Dalton's got no time to throw, right? It's not like he can – he's got to take a 27-step drop to give himself any type of clearance or operate fully out of the shotgun at this point with how banged up that line is.
Yeah, now with Zach Martin out as well, it just gets worse. The only good news is Washington is on the schedule next for Dallas.
That helps.
It does help. I'm not comfortable if I have Amari Cooper on my team, but I'm probably still playing him if I just have – if it's an even race for other guys to play in that spot. Same thing with CeeDee Lamb. I know we talked about Gallup because we just didn't know when Dalton came in. He had the two big throws to Gallup and the Giants win. We didn't know how that would play out. But, I mean, I guess if it's even, I'm going to ride with them, especially against the Washington team. Then they'd have the Eagles the next week where you can – maybe see some more points. Pittsburgh after that could be difficult, but at least in the short term, maybe ride with those guys a little bit. One other thing from that Cowboys-Cardinals game that I just think is interesting, because we talk about Kenyon Drake a lot, and I'm going to be honest, he's on both of my fantasy teams, so that's why we talk about Kenyon Drake a lot. No, but the point is, he was a running back that was a higher draft pick, maybe second round sort of guy where you're like, all right, after the explosion when he came over from Miami last year, how are things going to play out? Numbers very deceiving tonight with the touchdown run that he had to put him over 164 yards for the game. I think it was 164 yards right on the head, the two touchdowns. But again, Kyler Murray stole a goal line touch from him. Chase Edmonds continues to get snaps. And you know, I guess when you look at the running back position around the National Football League, there still aren't guys that are getting as many touches as Kenyon Drake. I just don't know if this is going to be the breakthrough moment, considering how it happened for him. The Kyler Murray factor for him. I mean, if you have Kyler Murray, at least he made the most out of his opportunities tonight for as limited that they were. But I still think you're going to see some of this, the same problems, so don't necessarily be fooled by the one breakout on a touchdown run that I don't even know if the Cowboys were trying on. I mean, I thought that
they looked like they gave up. They quit.
Yeah. And so
I think
so
they expected either kneel downs or lay downs or whatever you'd like to call it. Instead, he made that one cut and was gone, and everybody was standing around. Like, that was one of all the reactions you get of Jerry Jones in the box. I wanted one at the moment that Drake broke to the right and found nothing but green ahead of him. That was the moment I wanted the booth shot to see the visceral reaction of one Jerry Jones. But to your point, he's going to be up and down, right? The yardage is not there every week. And here, all of it, I mean, good chunk of it comes in garbage times. Like I was mentioning with Kyler Murray before, right? 188 yards in the air, 140 of them came on two throws. That they all count just the same, but on the whole, you're going, eh, and then they ran the ball down the Cowboys' throats in the second half. So that's just the way that worked. But with Kenyon Drake, Edmonds is still a pain in the neck. Murray calling his own number will continue to be a problem. So he's one of those guys that, given the dearth of running backs with a heavy touch count, right, so many splits, that it's hard to say, hey, sell high off of this performance, because you can maybe sucker someone that didn't watch the game. But it's also who are you going to get in return that's going to help you?
Sure. I look at here's the other thing with that situation. I'll make this quick, because I don't want to spend another 5 minutes on Kenyon Drake like I make you do every other week of the season. The point is at some
love
point there's going to be a defense that really does focus on Kyler Murray, and the level of defenses that the Cardinals have played have not been good. So at some point, maybe there will be an opening. Maybe you want to keep on riding them. Just don't expect the 164 yards and two touchdowns unless the team's going to quit like Dallas did. The other point with the Chiefs in Buffalo, bad Josh Allen. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has 160 yards, doesn't get into the end zone, but now you have Le'Veon Bell coming in. This is something that you and I talked about as well, where Buffalo's defense allowed the Chiefs to continue to run the ball, and I would think you'd probably see some more defenses like that, so that should help Kansas City, but they at least made an effort to run the ball on Monday night, where I don't think that they seemed to in the last couple of weeks, and you saw it with the amount of carries that Clyde got. Travis Kelce gets in the end zone a couple of times. So it may not have been pretty on a wet, soggy day in Buffalo, but I do think that there are still positives to take from Kansas City, even maybe not in an ideal situation.
Yeah, what I think will be curious is, can other defenses match what Buffalo brought in terms of limiting those explosive plays, right? Mecole Hardman was a goose egg. Tyreek Hill was virtually invisible. In this game, and a lot of it was short gains, and yes, there was some yak involved, but for the most part, it was earn your drives. And as we've talked about through the first 6 weeks or 5 weeks and into this one, is you haven't seen the mountain of penalties that normally fly over the course. We saw some tonight in the Monday night, but I think the referees were just ticked, so they started throwing flags. But all in all, you know how much one penalty can beset a drive, right, and scoring opportunities. And if defenses can start limiting the Chiefs like Las Vegas did last week, and you see it again with the Bills here. So they get the win against Buffalo, but maybe there's something to this, taking away some of those explosive plays, making them work. So from a football angle, it's a big deal. From a fantasy angle, you know, you like your quick and easy 60-yard bombs. Yeah. I don't know that those are coming.
Yeah, and the point that I should clarify, the running game for Kansas City opens up for a good game. As you said, Tyreek Hill, if you had Tyreek Hill on Monday night, you're disappointed. Just the three catches for 20 yards, and you mentioned Hardman's, was skunked. Even Travis Kelce, by getting into the end zone twice, still had just five catches for 65 yards, and those touchdowns ended up saving him. All right, let's put a bow on a Monday night, because that allows us to transition into our three-point conversion recap. I'm going to start just because it's an easy transition, where I said I stood by Clyde Edwards-Helaire. 26 carries, 161 yards on the ground. Had four catches, but they only went for 8 yards, but it was this best rushing total of the season. Didn't get into the end zone. Darrell Williams had the touchdown run on the fourth down, but I think it was a positive for Clyde Edwards-Helaire and got you into the 20-point barrier this week. Kirk Cousins stepped up. It wasn't pretty, and again, a no pictures on the scorecard sort of thing, but 343 yards, three touchdowns, and three interceptions, and I just basically go back to that of us saying last week, just play the guys that play against bad defenses, because that's going to work out for you. And it didn't work out for a half for Kirk Cousins, but it sure did in the second half. And I said that Tom Brady would get his revenge. Didn't necessarily do it fantasy-wise. Just had the two touchdown passes. Didn't break 200 yards in throwing the football. But he did get his revenge on the scoreboard for Tampa Bay with that win over Green Bay. I'm not going to claim that as a win because he wasn't great fantasy-wise, but somewhat on target for my three-point conversions in week six.
Yeah, mine was an unmitigated disaster. It was the bet big on Big Ben. He finished as a back-end QB2. I thought the how did I term it? It was the red alert celebrating Andy Dalton, and he sucked. And the team sucked in every way possible. 266, a touchdown, two interceptions, a couple of throws that his receivers, I don't know if they were looking for the ball. A lot of it goes on Ezekiel Elliott, and he can bang his head against the ground all he wants.
Well, he was trying too hard, Mike. He was trying too hard.
That's what they said on the broadcast. I almost broke my television. I almost broke my television when the guy said it. I'm like,
I know. You said it 5 minutes ago.
They kept going to it. I know, but it just kills me. Because that became a talking point. Is this really a thing? Like, no, it's not really a thing. But so be it. And the last was just the bye week replacements and being judicious, right? Because we had a lot of holes in rosters. I fear the way some of these games turned out, that placing big bets based on over-unders this week came back to bite you.
I've got a lot of people in my head after I told everybody to make a trade here on this podcast. Make a trade. Have some fun. Go out and make a trade. Do a deal. That's what fantasy football is all about. So I go out and make a trade for Adam Thielen, end up giving up Will Fuller as part of the deal, and if I don't make the trade, I end up winning this week. But because I did the trade, got the deal done, ended up losing. And that's why I freaking hate fantasy football. It is so stupid. Fantasy football is so dumb when you try to do something to make fun and to have an enjoyable time, and then you go out and you get screwed because you're so stupid with the deals that you make. That's how I felt in week six. If I just would have held on, I'm like, all right, Adam Thielen's good. They're playing the Falcons, Mike. They're playing the Falcons. Yeah. It's going to be great. Who cares if I'm going up against Justin Jefferson? Not a big deal at all. And what do you know what happens? Like, even if I wouldn't have made the trade, I would have been one of those guys who would have been able to tweet, I won my fantasy game on Kenyon Drake's garbage time touchdown. Ha 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 ha. But I couldn't do that. So I'm regretting my own. I get it. I said to make trades, and now I'm just kicking myself. But that's my other takeaway from week six in the National Football League.
All right, you gotta exhale on that one. I mean, that was scalding.
How do you think my wife feels? She had to deal with me all Monday night, you know, putzing around the house and moping because knowing
you
that my lead was
moping over Kenyon Drake.
Oh, I was moping because of the stupid deals that I made.
But it's for the long term, right? You might have lost the battle, but will you win the war? Now, in week 16, you may go on a profanity laden, you know, tirade based on this trade and what it did, how it submarined your season. Because you're a guy that you will go back and figure out what the scoring would have been had you not made the deal. I know you, Dan.
How is Will Fuller not injured yet? Like, I don't wish injuries on anybody.
Point.
But seriously, like, we're at week six. Like, we're nearing the halfway point of the season, and he usually would come down with a hamstring injury. So that's why I'm like, you know what? Let's sell right now.
Yeah,
let's move him on out, and let's bring in a guy like Adam Thielen, who is a touchdown maker. Did have a touchdown, but only had three catches against the Falcons. But, in hindsight, 2020 in fantasy football. All right, let's break
now
down
Thielen's
week six.
Got a bye week for you,
buddy. Yeah, exactly. So and that's why I did it. I'm like, the Falcons, the freaking Falcons are coming to town. You know, there's no Dalvin Cook. It's going to be Cousins throwing it all over the place. And he did to Justin Jefferson.
And he did against Justin Jefferson.
Oh,
39.6 fantasy points on the day.
Oh, geez. Let's take a look back at the week that was. It was every time I looked up, I saw the drawing of Justin Jefferson from the Fox graphic. I swear to God, it was Justin Jefferson again. Touchdown. There was a lot of scoring.
I want them to do a graphic like me, of me like that, man. I'll be all ripped and.
Because I don't want the truth. That's why. Like those caricatures, the guys who sit on Santa Monica Pier and draw your face. That's like, I'm like, I don't want to know the truth. I don't need that. I don't want that at all. Oh, man. Miles Sanders and Zach Ertz are out for Philadelphia, getting hurt in that Ravens game. Ertz out longer than Sanders. Sanders going to miss maybe a week or two. Not expected to play Thursday against the Giants. And that would have been nice to be able to play Miles Sanders after weeks against the Ravens and the Steelers. And I have the Giants game coming up. But he's likely going to be out. And now Zach Ertz out for Philly, maybe more Jalen Hurts, maybe more Carson Wentz, but that NFC East is a mess, but it just doesn't get easier for Philly with those two big injuries.
Yeah, it's the next man up. So, we'll hear all the analysis of Carson Wentz and what he's dealing with, the offensive line woes. They're hoping to get a couple of the guys back here in the next week or two between Peters and Johnson and going all the way through. It's just been a difficult run this past week, a bunch of drop balls. So when you're dealing with backups, and maybe DeSean Jackson. No, never mind. I'm not even going down that road. Look, it's Fulgham, and it's Boston Scott, and it's Greg Ward, and
Charlie Gardner.
Yeah, start dealing him up. Get Carmichael back up in the the jersey.
Fred Barnett, we could throw him out there. A lot
Freddie
of old
Mitchell.
Eagles that we can has Freddie Mitchell.
We How about Terrell Owens? He might actually still be able to play.
Like, now the Eagles actually show signs of life, but two of their biggest contributors now just going to be out for a little while. What about that takeaway from the Packers-Buccaneers game? We mentioned Brady's numbers. They put up 38 against Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers contributed to some of that 38, but you have Brady having the 166 and two TDs, Ronald Jones with a breakthrough game and a couple of scores with Leonard Fournette out again. Is this a Buccaneer boom? Is the Pack going back to the Pack? What are our takeaways from that? What was supposed to be an epic showdown on Sunday?
Well, I had wondered aloud last week whether the Packers were bum slayers or really how good they were, because there were a bunch of metrics that said they're not there. Like, I had this argument, it's Fox Football Sunday with LeVar Arrington, because he's like, wow, they were in the championship. It's like, no, but they got stomped. Like, they were in the game, but they weren't in the game, right? There's a gap. And I don't know how much of that gap. Look, it may not. It's San Francisco's got nobody left. But just wondering what they are at this point beyond Davante Adams. We've seen Tanyan pop up, and you've seen the secondary receivers make a play or two. But how great is that going to be on a week-to-week basis? That defense still scares me when it's all said and done. But that means Aaron Rodgers will keep slinging it. From the Tampa Bay side. See, Bayside. Like, now I'm going to start singing
Very good.
By the Bell. Yeah, nicely done. Starts going Richard Belding on everybody with that laugh. Or it was much higher pitched. I can't do it. You can do it.
No, I don't, but I'll tell you my favorite Saved by the Bell moment after you make your point.
Okay, good. The point being that it was going to take some time for this team to gel, right, and to get healthy, because this was the first time you had everybody gathered. Right, and Gronkowski actually getting out in pass routes. So I think there's better days ahead, and that defense is for real. Obviously, missing a huge piece on the defensive front, but making some deals, trying to change things up. I think that'll be good, and you got a guy who's motivated in McClendon because he gets to get away from the Jets. So that's good for business. So perhaps that'll be a cog that'll help things move forward here. But offensively, I think there's still some good things to come.
Yeah, and I think that Ronald Jones really is taking advantage of his opportunity. Leonard Fournette hurt again, still a guy that doesn't really know the system. So even when he comes back, now if you want to ride the hot hand, heck, if you're Tampa Bay and you know, I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. I didn't pick them to win it, but I picked them to be there because I figured there'd maybe be some growing pains at first, but at some point things are going to click, and I think that maybe week six was that turning point with where this team is, because you also got, you know, Chris Godwin back healthy, and yeah, so there's there, you know, they, I think that they turned a corner. Your point about the Packers and the bum slayers, I all for that as well. I just don't know how difficult their schedule even gets from here. You know, I mean, it's really, you know, there's a lot of bad teams in the National Football League. ProFootballTalk.com had a piece today where there was, or on Monday, where they had the piece where there were 10 teams with one win or less. I mean, that's a third of the league. That is atrocious.
And ready to win the NFC East.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, you got three teams right there. I mean, it's really bad. And so for as bad as things were for Green Bay, I don't know. I mean, they do have to play the Bears twice. So you've got, you know, that matchup coming up. But I don't know how much more difficult that it'll actually get for Green Bay, maybe outside of this this game against Tampa Bay. And finally, the craziness in Nashville. I just when you think that Derrick Henry's not going to have, you know, like a crazy 90-yard run, it's what he does. Deshaun Watson, you know, without Bill O'Brien being there, you know, the Texans always seem to get into these crazy sort of shootout games, and he ends up having four touchdown passes. I don't know how much you can trust from that game, Mike. I do really think that A.J. Brown looks really good coming back, and now that he's healthy with Tennessee, but I just don't know if to chalk this up of, okay, I'm going to play these guys now, or was this just one of those crazy AFC South games that we get, like, you know, every fourth or fifth week in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, Brown's going to be a guy who's going to be a back-end one or a high-end two, I think, for you each week that he's healthy. Tannehill, as we sit here, I believe he is ninth amongst fantasy quarterbacks this season, right? And everybody's done the numbers going back, you know, a full year's worth of games in this system. Having Derrick Henry is obviously going to help, but he's taken full advantage of it. Now, we'll see how long Jonnu Smith is sidelined, because that was a big cog for them. Number five among tight end scoring through the first 6 weeks of the season. So that's a big absence. But watching Derrick Henry is just a thing of beauty. Just days after throwing Josh Norman around, the fact that he had that much more in the tank, right, on a short week. Like, that's the other incredible part of it, right? And the abuse that this guy takes over the course of a game. But he was the number one running back last week, and I think most weeks it's going to be hard to dethrone him at this point.
Yeah, it truly, truly magnificent. And, yeah, that Ryan Tannehill, so far money well spent for the Tennessee Titans. My favorite part of Saved by the Bell, and there were so many of them, was they were sitting in the max, the crew was, we'll just put it that way, and Slater's sitting like at the end of the booth, so he's like, I think he's got his back to the door, you know, because he's cool and he's got the chair backwards, and he's like, hey, that's the head coach of the Iowa wrestling team. They got the best wrestling program in the country. And the guy walks over, zero recruitment, zero film, has never met AC Slater, offers him a deal, AC accepts, and then the coach says, all right, I'll see you in the fall, and leaves. Like, the entire recruitment of AC Slater to Iowa took place in a span of 15 seconds. It is truly one of the most amazing recruitment stories we have ever seen in sports. It truly was
kind of a big deal.
Sure. And the coach just shows up at the local diner. Why not? Because that's where you're going to find the kid that's going to be leading Hawkeye wrestling after the Dan Gable era. It is going to be AC Slater in the 15-second recruitment. That, by the way, if he wouldn't have gone to Iowa, that would have been an epic fail.
Epic fail.
Yeah, there it is. There's the drop. All right, predictions we hit, those that we missed. My give me one reasons to start and sit were actually pretty good. I gave you one reason to start Keelan Cole, and that was DJ Chark's health. Chark ended up playing against the Lions, but it didn't matter. Cole had six catches for 143 yards, so that would have put you past the 20-point barrier for the week in a PPR league. And I gave you one reason to sit Odell Beckham Jr. Mike gave you five other ones, but I said going up against Joe Hayden, two catches, 25 yards. Had his shoes off before the end of the game. So that's a win for me. I'll take the double wins on those. And no epic fails for me, at least in week six. Mike, what'd you hit in week six, and maybe what'd you miss?
Well, let's see. You say a lot of stuff. You put your foot in your mouth a few times. The ineptitude of Baker Mayfield was one of the big hits of the week. 119, a touchdown, two picks, 26th on the week, just 5.2 fantasy points. Matt Ryan was one of those guys who left dead and buried. People have jumped off. He was back end QB2 or worse. I said, all right, if it can't work this week, then it'll never work again. Lo and behold, Julio Jones is out there ready to make some plays. He was one of my fails, but the Matt Ryan experience of 371 and four, he was second among quarterbacks. Jimmy G was another one. It's like, all right, redemption, because their pride was hurt the week before. That was one of the themes that we had this past week for fantasy purposes and for game predictions was, look, you had a bunch of teams that just got smacked around in unlikely spots, so they were playing for pride. Everybody in Carolina against that Bears defense, some accuse me of homerism. I would suggest they just watch the Bears defense go to work for a while. Mike Davis, just 11.5 fantasy points, is 52 and a touchdown. He's sixth on the year, right? He is number six among running backs right now in fantasy scoring, but a bad week this past week. Right on Devin Singletary. even though it wasn't Zach Moss that was the guy eating into his workload. They just can't run the football right now. He was 36th. The sleeper plays were Jefferson and Kirk from the wide receiver position. I'll take those victories. And then two others that struggled that we predicted as such, Juju Smith-Schuster with the rise of Chase Claypool, and then T.Y. Hilton continues to struggle. He just won for 11 yards, 87th among wide receivers. Now, the big fails. Roethlisberger and Josh Allen are the two biggest among them. I bet big on Andy Dalton, so he beat me up. Michael Gallup, 2-for-23, 70th for the week. And that, like, not that that touchdown catch would have done a monster load to get him off this list, but it would have at least been more respectable. As long as you got the one in the touchdown column, I can't kill it all the way. Tyreek Hill was in my top five wide receivers, as was DeAndre Hopkins. He was 44th, and that included that 60-yard grab, 2-for-73. But the king of them all, if I was going to put a big crown on him, it would work, because purple is the color of royalty, and in this case, it's the color of futility. Alexander Mattison with his miserable performance on Sunday.
It was a tough one, and who knows with Dalvin Cook now with the bye week coming back, but we'll have to wait to sing again, Mike Harmon. May have to wait another week.
I sang a sad song. Don't come crawling back to me. Anyway.
Alexander Mattison. You mentioned Mike Davis, and that's a perfect transition to our celebrity selections.
Even celebrities have fantasies.
Two chicks at the same time, man.
Who better to set your starting lineup than the stars themselves?
Hey, what's going on? It's Nick Lachey.
Hi, this is Daryl Hall.
And this is John Oates.
This is Snoop Deagle Double G.
Hi, this is Bob Eubanks from the Newlywed Game.
They rack 'em, we rank 'em. It's Celebrity Selections.
Our celebrity selections for week 6 came from the one and only Khalid Wolf of the NFL Network. One of the top personalities out there. You can see her. Heck, you could see her leading into the Thursday night games. You could see her on Good Morning Football on the weekend. You could find her on Twitter at Khalid Wolf, and it's a Wolf with an E at the end. She picked her quarterback to be Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Miami Dolphins, who are going up against the Jets. She picked Mike Davis of the Panthers against the Bears. And then she took Kenny Galladay of the Lions against the Jaguars. And while all three didn't provide clunkers, they didn't have those huge weeks that we would normally look at from those players. Fitzpatrick, 191 yards, 3 touchdowns, was picked off twice, but ended up giving her 19.4 points. Davis got in the end zone, as you mentioned, but just 52 yards on the ground. Didn't do much. Had just a couple of catches for 3 yards. Gave her 13.5 and 14.5 points from Kenny Galladay in his 4-catch, 105-yard effort against the Jaguars. That puts her at 47.4. Right now, 4th in our rankings of 5 entries. Remember, we didn't have the week 5 because we just weren't sure on how many games are going to be played.
Sure.
So we skipped that week. But so right now, Khalid Wolf in 4th place. Josephine Scriver, the SI swimsuit model, still in 1st. Alicia Sacramone-Quinn in 2nd. The Olympic gymnast, Jeff Cesario, great comic TV writer, in 3rd. Then you have Colleen and 1999 Heisman Trophy winner Ron Dane coming in 5th, as he had 36.9 points in week 4. We'll have a very, very special celebrity in week 7, something that you will not want to miss. We don't want you to miss out on the waiver wire buys in week 7 for the Ravens, Dolphins, Vikings, as we mentioned, and the Indianapolis Colts. Who's going to be hot on the waiver wire? Who should people target entering week 7, Mike?
Well, they should have grabbed him last week while they were going to the bye week, but Mike Williams, Justin Jackson, and rookie quarterback Justin Herbert, three guys that are still virtually unowned in the vast majority of leagues. Jackson, after the Eckler injury, seemed like he would have been a big push to grab him. Not so fast. Likewise, Herbert, people, I think, because of the bye week, playing the wait-and-see game, and now they have to go in against other owners. Bad job by you. Tannehill, we talked about him a little bit earlier. Not the best matchup, so you may not have to spend too huge a fab amount with Pittsburgh on the slate, but still a guy unowned in about half of leagues as you roll through. We talk about J.D. McKissic. Is it exciting? No, but 22 targets in the last 3 weeks, over 40 receiving yards each week. Like, it's not going to, you're not getting monster totals. But if you're in a PPR league, he's at least giving you 5-6 catches a week. So opportunities there. Tim Patrick of Denver, back-to-back 100-yard games, 4 or more targets in 5 straight games, went over the century mark with 4 catches this past week. Seems like he's got the eye of, well, doesn't matter who's quarterbacking. Trey Burton in Indianapolis. Yes, former Bear who couldn't catch there, but he caught on here in Indianapolis. And look, Mo Alie-Cox had become a good red zone target. He's still banged up. Jack Doyle hasn't quite worked himself back into full shape there. And yes, they have a bye this week, but he's got 5 or more targets, 3 straight games, 11 for out of 16, and a couple of touchdowns, including a rushing touchdown. So opportunities there. Preston Williams, because Devontae Parker with the groin injury means more workload coming off the arm of Fitzpatrick. And then we got Jamichael Hasty, who's going to be one of the hot names of who? 9 for 37, rookie out of Baylor, as Mostert goes to the IR for the 49ers. Now it's a workload split with McKinnon.
There may have been a situation where someone drafted DeAndre Swift at the start of the year, hoping he would just take the Lions' job, and then maybe got frustrated with the three-headed monster with Kerryon Johnson and obviously Adrian Peterson coming in. But Swift did had a huge day against Jacksonville. So if he's available, you may want to check that out, because 116 yards, 2 touchdowns. Took him 6 weeks, but now maybe living up to that draft potential, not only in the NFL draft, but in your fantasy. And what about Anthony Firkser, the tight end?
Firkser, nicely done.
Yes, the tight end from Tennessee, because of the Jonnu Smith injury. 8 catches, 113 yards, and a touchdown. Titans do have the Steelers coming up in a battle of unbeatens on Sunday. So maybe he's not as much of a, or we'll get a little bit more resistance is the better way to put it than a Texans team. But still could be out there if you are going to be without Jonnu Smith.
Yeah, he's going to be virtually unowned coming in, right? You might have had deeper rosters and just playing the wait-and-see game. But, you know, we're talking about, you know, what Ryan Tannehill's been doing. Pittsburgh will try to slow him down, maybe bring in an extra man. If nothing else, a run blitz might do wonders to force the ball out of Tannehill's hand fast. So perhaps some opportunities there.
This next segment shouldn't take long, because we're going to tell you who to play from Thursday Night Football. So this is going to be, I mean, it's Eagles Giants.
Yeah,
listen,
it is.
For those of us that don't live in an NFC East market, and that's a lot of the National Football League fan bases, we get sick of the NFC East being shoved down our throats just because of the enormous market and the draw that that division has. But Giants-Eagles will be seen on Fox on Thursday night. So I encourage you to watch it. I encourage you to watch the game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. But who would you want to play from that game if you had to in, I don't know, let's just say a 12-team fantasy league? Are there guys that you would actually play in Eagles-Giants?
Yeah, I think you're still going to see a couple of players on both sides. I mean, Devonta Freeman, you got Ingram, and Slayton, if he's healthy. We keep an eye on the injury report because he was, you know, bouncing around. He scored, but then, yeah, his foot's a problem. And I think that's it. And then on the other side, look, Carson Wentz, he's another guy that still only owned in about half of leagues. It's not pretty, but the fantasy points are coming, right? This is one where it's like a lot of bettors. I place my bet and I walk away, and then I get my update when the game is over, and then I'll go back through the numbers later on. I don't need to watch it. Ninth inning,
I wrote
Dodger
down
games the last couple days.
I wrote down Travis Fulgham as a play.
Yep.
Because, you know, he would be somebody that you would want. 7 catches, got in the end zone in that comeback against the Ravens, a comeback loss in that contest. But the backfield with Boston Scott, Corey Clement, nothing really there to too appealing, at least in my eyes.
Yeah, Fulgham certainly is a play. And then Boston Scott probably as a flex guy, assuming he's the lead, right? We give it 1 week against in a plus matchup scenario to see how it breaks. But once Clement comes in and steals the goal line touch, it'll also steal your heart.
Yeah, Fulgham was the only guy that I really wrote down that I thought, okay, that would be somebody I would play six catches against the Ravens. I said seven, but I had six for 75. All right, let's three-point conversion this baby. Wrap it up. Again, you can always find us on Twitter. Get Mike at Swollen Dome. I'm at Dan Beyer on Fox. And, of course, the show handle at I Want Your Flex. It's the best way to contact us, whether you have any questions, whether you want to catch up on the podcast, or just go to at Fox Sports Radio. That Twitter handle will also send you a link to the podcast as well. You can find the podcast at iHeart on the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Mike, the three-point conversion heading into week seven of the National Football League, or at least the week leading up to week seven of the National Football League. What would they need to take away from today's podcast?
All right, number one, we're not giving up hope yet. There will not be a streak because Josh Allen gets right against the Jets. We have the Dallas Cowboys. Better days. See, I'll double down on the Red Rifle. This was awful. Washington coming up. Big pass rush, but the secondary is gettable. So in desperation mode for daily fantasy league purposes, I will go down that way. And then King of the Desert, just like Mo Green and everybody were setting up shop all those years ago. Yeah, that's a Godfather reference. We got Tom Brady and company coming out to Las Vegas for a big Sunday night game, and Brady shines once again.
I'm going to start out with my glass half full gum and not half empty. So I am on Travis Fulgham on Thursday night. I think that he provides fantasy points for teams and gets in the end zone again for Philadelphia. I'm going to double down on the bad defenses, talking about bad teams in the NFL. Mentioned the byes this week. Ravens are one of those teams that are on bye, so there's one good defense that's out of it. You can find plenty of bad defenses and bad football teams in the NFL. Go around, look for them, and find the matchups for that, because that's where you're likely going to find some hay. And finally, because of my stupid trade that I made, I'm going to tell myself to look ahead, that I made the trade for the long term, not just week six. But don't look back. You make your decisions just like when you're kicking yourself 4 weeks after your draft on why you drafted some guy. It's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for anyone. Just try to look ahead, and I'm going to try to take my own advice. That's my 3-point
conversion. I really thought you were going to go deep down a bad relationship and a relationship ending and trying to figure out the good and lamenting that. I'm glad you kept it into draft day.
I could have done it with all of the, you know, arguments I lose to my wife. I could have done it that way. Or
fair point.
Yeah, that's I've lost way more arguments than fantasy football games. Like, I'm the Washington Generals of arguments, I think, when it comes down to it. This show has been executive produced by the one and the only Lee DeLapp. Get him on Twitter at Lee DeLapp. Lee Mayock, thank you very much for your help on the show as well, as she is a consultant to the show, if you will, with her expertise. And we'll be back Friday morning with a brand new episode for you to download as well. Have a good rest of the week. Enjoy the World Series, and we'll talk to you in a few. Have a good one.